those of us who come by having the privilege of being able to talk to you on Thursday evenings, because you generally have the other guys take over. And I hope that I'm really not too boring to you tonight, because it's been an awfully long time since I've sat in a youth meeting and been designated as a youth speaker and all the rest of it. But I'm trusting God will use us. I'm trusting that He will say something very, very special to each of us, both young and old, tonight. And as I prepared this little talk that I will share with you this evening, I want to let you know that my own heart personally has been challenged. By the way, I hope you don't mind my standing here and just pacing back and forward. I may go up the aisle a little bit. It all depends. Right now, in our world, we are being bombarded by a whole lot of things, aren't we? Some of you young people right here, right? Anyone, raise your hand and tell me one thing that has happened today that you absolutely had nothing about to do about, but you are just absolutely, well, it's taken you by storm, so to speak. It's incredible that such a thing should happen. Just tell me one thing that you saw in the news today. What was the most prominent thing on the news today? Anybody looked at ABC, CBS, CNN, Fox? Yes, the terror plot. Now, you had absolutely nothing to do with that. And we ask the question, why in the world should this bother us? One man by the name of Osama bin Laden, along with his cohorts, September 11th, whatever the year, 2001 was it, flies these jets into the Twin Towers and eventually brings them down. And every time you and I go to an airport, whether we want to or not, we have to almost practically strip ourselves. I have to take off my coat. I have to take off my shoes. One little old lady on one occasion said to me, "Take off your belt." I said, "My goodness, what's going on?" But all of this is about war. And chiefly, war in the Middle East. Israel, Iraq, Afghanistan, and pretty soon we might see Iran, we might see Russia getting into the fray, aiding us a bit more. But it's all about war. And who wants a piece of the territory? And frankly, the little country that's in the middle of it all, whether it is Iraq or Afghanistan or wherever else, the main focus is on one little piece of territory called Israel. And one little city called Jerusalem. Now, some of you have had the opportunity of going there. I have not yet. I'm not quite so sure that I want to go there right now. I haven't been there, but I'm hoping, I expect to be there sometime in the future. If you are like me and you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, you could expect to get there, all right? But that's what this is all about, war. And the history of Israel, the nation of Israel, throughout the ages, have been a history of war. Constant warfare. Always strife. When you look into the Old Testament scriptures, in particular, You see war after war after war after war. They are either fighting with themselves, the North against the South, or together they are fighting against some common enemy, the Ammonites, all the termites. Okay? Whatever those ites are, they're fighting against them. And perhaps the greatest battles that they fought were not the Federation against the Klingons, but the Philistines against the children of Israel. Right? There was constant battle against with these two people. The Philistines against the Klingons. I mean, you know, against the Israelites. Oh, I go this Klingon business again. Every now and then I do watch a little Star Trek, a little science fiction. And I hear the sound of war. The greatest story that you could probably remember from the Old Testament scriptures, and perhaps the most often told story that you know from the Old Testament of war. Let's see if you can guess. Some of you try guessing. What is perhaps the most famous story of war in the Old Testament scriptures? Anyone, just raise your hand and then shout it out. I know you know it because you grew up here in Spanish Wells Gospel Chapel, and so on. Now, let me get some of these young people over here talking to me now, please. Anyone? David and Goliath, absolutely. And that's perhaps one of the most famous stories. I grew up your age and a little bit smaller in Sunday school, Central Gospel Chapel in Nassau. And I heard stories of David and Goliath every single level of Sunday school that I went through until I was a pretty big boy. And then I started reading the Bible for myself, and I started reading more and more the story of David and Goliath. And I remember on one occasion, I went to a conference. And they were teaching us how to do child evangelism and how to talk to young people and children. And this young lady, she was very, very bold, and she stood up before the audience, extremely meek and mild looking. She was not a very boisterous looking person at all. Very, very lovely to look at. Then all of a sudden, out of her mouth came these words. Send me a man to fight. And can you imagine hearing those words for 40 days? Send me a man to fight. That was the voice of Goliath ringing across the valley between Israel and the Philistines. And he was such a big, tall guy, he probably, if he stood in this room, he could probably take his hand and reach up there and maybe shake those lights a little. I've got to jump, and I couldn't possibly hit it jumping. But he could probably do it. He was so tall and so wide, and he had such a great big long spear. Somebody else had to help him. And he just went on and on and on, shouting, send me a man to fight. You see, many times in those days, they fought in a couple of ways. Either they would get the great big battles together, and they would send whole troops in the battle, and whoever, of course, won, killed off most guys. they won the battle and they took over and they ruled the other cities. And then there was possibility that on occasions, just to save lives, one guy would come out as a champion. And he would say to the other guys, okay, I'm the champion for this army. If you kill me, everybody on my side would become slaves to you. If I kill your champion, only one man, then you will become slaves to us. Well, that's the proposition. That's the thing that Goliath was saying to these people. I am the champion of the Philistine army. If you kill me, we will become your slaves. All right. Well, that story, of course, you know very well. And it's given to us in the scriptures. 1 Samuel chapter 17. I will not go into reading it right now because I know that you know it very well. But let me just run down a couple of things about it. On the one side, we have the Philistine army, a group of people who cared nothing for the true and living God. On the other side, who was worshipped by the Israelites. We have this man, Goliath, who came out day after day challenging them and who was prepared to curse the God of Israel because he really cared nothing about him. And all he wanted to do was take these people, make them his slaves, make them do whatever he wanted them to do. On the other hand, you've got a king, the king of Israel, sitting back, cowering in his tent, utterly afraid to do anything because really he should have been the champion of Israel. Then finally comes a little boy. Oh, how old was David? Any of you can remember a teacher suggesting maybe how old David was when he went down to the battle? Oh, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. I am thinking that maybe about around 18. I may be wrong. But I think he was probably somewhere in about that age when he went down to the battle. Maybe younger. Maybe a little bit older. And so here comes this fellow, David. He hears the Philistine out there shouting day after day, send me a man to fight. If you kill us, we will become your slaves. If we take you, you will become our servants, our slaves. And he's getting pretty upset with this after a while. Says to his buddies, what will the king do for the guy who kills this uncircumcised Philistine? Oh, he'll give her his daughter for wife. Boy, that's a pretty hefty prize to get the king's daughter for wife. No more taxes. In other words, you will no longer have to pay customs duties. And freight on this, freight charges on this, and the next thing, and the government will probably give you a $500,000 piece of property and $1 million home, and they would set you up for life. Think of that as being an equivalent, all right? All right, all right, all right. Send me a man to fight. I said, send me a man to fight. But of all of the men that are in the army, not one will step out and say, I'll fight this giant Goliath. So here now comes this little, what the Bible calls a stripling of a lad, just a youth, perhaps 17, 18, I'm sure he was not more than 20 years of age. Most likely he was not more than that. He says, I'll go out and fight him. I'll take his head off. I'll feed his carcass to the beast. Everything he says. Finally, his boasting gets to the king. The king says, you really mean you'll do this? What do you give me? I'll give you my daughter. I'll take all the taxes off your home and your property and your family's property, and you guys will be almost like kings in the land. Well, whether David is thinking about all of this reward or not, I don't know, but he did ask about it a couple of times. He went to this soldier over here and that group of soldiers over there and said, what did the king do? Then finally he comes to the king. The king says, here's what I'll do. He collects himself, decides to go out to the battle, and here's what the king says. Okay, look. There's no way you are going to fight this giant all by yourself just like this. I'll give you my armor. After trying on the armor, it is obvious that this just does not fit. Takes it off, decides to go out into the battle. What does he go with? Do you know what he went with? What is the one big thing that he went with? Slingshot, yes. But he went with something else, didn't he? There was at least one other item David had. What was that?
Stone.
Yes, he had a stone. Something else.
Staff?
Yes, he had a staff. He had a slingshot with the stone, and he had a staff. And that's all he needed. He goes down to the brook, he chooses his stones wisely, and then he comes up against the Philistine, who again cries out and shouts curses, more curses, because now here he is, a great big man, taller than anybody else, twice as tall perhaps, and wider than anybody else, and he is ready to do battle with a man. He's a man kind of man-sized giant. He wants to do battle with him, not a little lad. He says, you think that I am a dog? What kind of people are you? You send your little children out to fight giants? But you see, David knew something that this giant did not know. David knew, firstly, that he was related indeed to the true and living God. Because he says, I come out against you, not just with spear and staves and all of the rest of it, but I come against you in the name of the living God. In addition to that, David had the experience where in the past he had to fight something like a giant, a bear and a lion. And he killed both of them. That's what he told Saul. But you see, the wonder of it all is this. When David killed the bear and when he killed the lion, he knew that it was not in his own strength. It was indeed in the strength of the Lord. Thirdly, when David went up against this uncircumcised Philistine, he went up against him knowing the confidence that he had in his slingshot on the stone that he would sling. Again, not just simply depending on his own strength, but the strength of the Lord to help him. And so, as a result of it, the battle goes well for David. It ends as he expected, not as Goliath had expected. Because, you see, for the first time in his whole life, in the life of Goliath, as big and as tall as he was, something entered into his head that he had never expected. A stone. And when David slung that stone, it probably went so fast, aided by the help of the Lord, that it not only hit him on the forehead, but it probably sank a little bit in there, stunned him completely, and he fell down. Apparently he was not fully dead after the slingshot hit him. Because the Bible says that David ran up to him, took his sword out of the sheath, and then finally let it go all the way up there and brought it down across his neck. And off went his head. He not only got something in his head, but he actually lost his head. Now, and after that, the children of Israel became strong. They got confidence to get out of their holes and out of the rocks and run after the Philistines and to fight them. The battle went to the people of God. Now, I want you to think about this as we look at this as a, not just simply as a narrative story, one that you have heard constantly throughout your years as young people and as older folk, as I have. Because I do read the story constantly still. But I want you to see perhaps some lessons that are here for us. I look out over you when I see some very, very lovely faces. And I'm thinking also of the fellows who are out to sea who probably would have been here in this group as well. Have you ever thought of the possibility of your becoming like David? As you've heard this story so many times in Sunday school or by preachers who have come by and others, have you ever thought in your own heart and mind, I wonder if God could use me like David? Now, if you don't get anything at all from this story this evening, that's precisely the point that I really want you to get. And I want you to think about it as a resolution. A resolution that says, God, I'm available to you. And as you could use David with only a slingshot, stone, and staff to bring down a great big giant, and the powerful Philistine nations, I want you to use me to do some exploit for you. Would you think about that? God, just as you used David, only a little boy in the eyes of everybody else. The old King James says, stripling of a lad. Just as you used him. I want you to use me to do some exploit, some specific service for you. Will you do that? I don't want you to be afraid. I don't want you to be timid about this. What I actually want you to do is to trust God to use you. Lots of times when we think about making a resolution or a commitment to God like that, oh boy, we really get afraid and we wonder if God is not going to just simply pick us up and dump us in a mud pond and say, here, enjoy that. He might. But the point is this. We can trust God wherever He takes us to use us. We are here in the Bahamas. And right now, all the way around the world, in a land called Thailand, there is a little young lady. Let me see. Would you stand for us, please? Yes, you are just about her size. There's a little girl, thank you, by the name of Lisa Gardner. Now, she's a little bit older than you are. But she is just about your size. Very, very frail looking young lady when I first saw her. And I said, how in the world could someone like her, so frail looking, think of going all the way to Thailand, around the world, as a missionary for God? But that's what she did. And that's where she is tonight. And every Saturday morning, I meet with a group of people who simply meet to pray. And every Saturday morning, I remind them, you pray for Lisa Gardner. Because she is there in that land, far, far away, doing exploits for God. Among a people that she had never known, among a people whose language she does not know, she has spent the last year learning the language, and she says, I'm just getting it now, and I'm making friends with more women of the tribes and the people, and I'm sharing the word of God with them, as young and as frail as she is. Lisa has said, I'll do exploits for God. What about you? Let me just help you a little bit, perhaps, in thinking about this some more. Again, using the story of David. How God can use you to do exploits for Him. Different things, whatever it may be. Now, He may not send you to Thailand. He may just simply send you to Miami. He may send you across the mainland. He may say, well, I want you to go to Canada or South America or somewhere else in the world. But He may just simply say to you, well, I want you to be here in Spanish Wells. And you know what I want you to do in Spanish Wells? Make it a resolution to tell every little boy and girl about Jesus in their young age through a program called Child Evangelism Fellowship. Have you ever heard of that? Child Evangelism Fellowship? It's a program that specializes in teaching children the Word of God. Songs. Phonographed. Lots of visual aids. And nowadays we have the LCD projector and everything else that they mix in and throw in with sights and sounds. And the eyes of little children, as they watch, become captured about the stories of Jesus, and they say, yes, I love Jesus. Some of you could perhaps grow up and become like a David in doing exploits for God in what is known as Word of Life. Have you heard of Word of Life? Jack Wertzen and all the rest of them. On my honeymoon, and I had a beautiful honeymoon, okay? My wife and I went to Bermuda. A lovely lady met us in Nassau, good friend of Brother Ed Allen. We were designated to take her around the city, and this was shortly before we got married. He says, where are you going on your honeymoon? We had no idea, because we had no money, and we couldn't plan anything. She said, all right, why don't you come to Bermuda? I'll take care of you, or I'll see that you get taken care of. We made up our mind that we were going to Bermuda, and we really prayed very hard that the Lord would provide the funds, the means for us to get to Bermuda. When we got to Bermuda, this dear saint of God put us up, arranged for us to be in a home, and then the church parsonage. And we noticed that she had two sons. One was 5 years old. The other was probably about three. And they were still running around in diapers and whatever. Frank, has Mark been here? The Spanish Rails? Okay. Mark was 5 years old when I visited Bermuda on my honeymoon. Mark is now 45 years of age, about 45, possibly 46. Well, no. Let's see. Now, well, a little bit younger, okay? I'm missing in my math. But do you know what Mark does? In fact, Mark was younger than, how old are you?
Seven.
You're seven, Mark was five. Do you know what Mark does? Mark is the director of Word of Life for the entire Caribbean, from Bermuda to South America. He comes to the Bahamas at least twice a year. He teaches young men and young women, just like yourself, in our assembly, how to reach other young boys and girls for Jesus Christ. A little bit older than the kid's age. He goes up a little bit higher. And I pray for Mark. And it's significant the way God has used him. First starting in Bermuda, youth camps. And then having a desire to go to Word of Life, Scroon Lake, New York. Being challenged by a message perhaps very, very similar to this. Committing yourself that God would use you to do exploits for Him. And then being commissioned as a worker among Word of Life. Going back to Bermuda, and then out from Bermuda into the Bahamas, and then into the Caribbean. And as a young man, Mark actually is being used more significantly and more widely than I am. Although I've been in full-time ministry far, far longer than him. Do you think, in your widest imagination, that God can pick up someone from here in Spanish Wells, 7 years old, and touches life as he grows, as a young Christian boy or a young Christian girl, and use you to impact the lives of many, many others, so that you could become a David and do exploits for God, what will it require? Here's what it will require. Firstly, it will require that you commit your life to Jesus Christ. If you're not truly born again, if you're just among the crowd, you need to be certain that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. Invite Him into your life. Okay? Now, I'm suspecting that all of you already know Christ as your personal Savior, but if you don't, do it tonight. Secondly, open yourself to the Lord and say to Him, Lord, I really want to be like David. I really want You to use me to do exploits for You, to do something very, very specific for You. And day by day, grow in the Word of God. Grow in knowledge of Jesus Christ. So that you will see God preserving your life and doing something very, very specific in you. Remember what happened to David? Just a shepherd boy on the hillside looking after sheep. Nobody wanted it. Such a menial job. Absolutely nobody else wanted it. That's why his brothers went off to the battle. This is far more exciting than being taking care of sheep on the hillside. Oh, man. Talk about boring. But David wanted it. Because on the hillside, David could take time to meditate and allow God to impact his heart and his life by His Word. So you get to know His Word. Secondly, thirdly, you allow God to do some very special things in your life that strengthen you. You come up against those great big guys who are talking macho and all the rest of it and whatever they want to do. But you find yourself standing strong for God, but not in your own strength, because God Himself has now already impacted you by His Word. And just like David said, I slew the lion, I slew the bear in the strength of the Lord. You too can, in the strength of the Lord, stand against the wiles of the devil and be a David and do exploits. But then, when David went out, he took with him his slingshot, and he took with him his stones, and he took with him the staff, right? Yes. And let me tell you, I believe that perhaps every single day on the hillside, David went down to the brook and picked out choice stones, put in that slingshot, and he practiced. Day after day after day after day. In other words, what is happening here? David is building skill in his life. He is learning to do something very, very specific so that God could use him to do exploits with whatever God has put to his hand for him to do. We talked about child evangelism. We talked about Word of Life, which reaches higher ages of kids. How many of you ever thought about the possibility of putting this church, Spanish Wells Gospel Chapel, on the internet? With streaming audio or video, so that Lisa Gardner in Thailand, when she opens up her notebook PC or, you know, computer, she can see Spanish Wells Gospel Chapel and hear the messages that are preached here in Spanish Wells Gospel Chapel all the way around in Thailand. And if there's a very, very significant message that talks about spiritual growth and development, she can call her friends and say, listen to this. And she interprets for them as they listen to Spanish Wells Gospel Chapel on her computer. You can do it as a specific outreach for God. Don't let the world take over every single thing that He has given to us in this world. How many of you would like to become a very, very skilled preacher for God so that God can use you? You start young. You start loving His Word. You start developing in all of the things that He wants to do for you and through you. And then you become skilled. And just as David could go out with a slingshot in the name of the Lord, I come against you in the name of the Lord, you can go out. What about those occasions when people come by your home and they have their handbags and they have their little booklets and pamphlets and you encounter them on the street or perhaps they knock on your door? Do you run away and say, I don't know how to witness them? Some of you can learn the skill of witnessing to them. And week after week, day after day, you not only learn that skill, but you also spend a lot of time in prayer. Lord, is there one of these that you want to turn from their pernicious ways to the love of Christ, to the light of the truth, and see Jesus Christ by His Holy Spirit? Bring some JW or some Mormon or whoever to you. And because you are skilled in witnessing to such people, you can see them turn from their ways and come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, a genuine saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Okay. I think I'll stop there. But I think that's the message that I want to get across to you. As young people in particular. That's the lesson that I would like to see you learn. The resolution. Who remembers the resolution? Anyone remembers the resolution? I think you do. Would you dare to trust God to use you? Okay, let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we give You thanks for this evening's hour and the wonderful privilege of being here talking about spiritual matters, talking about the things that You have done in the past and that You have lodged in Your Word to give us faith to believe You. And I am praying, dear Father, that through the working of the Holy Spirit, You will touch some heart, some life in here this evening. No, this is not a missionary conference or anything of that sort, but Lord, You can still do it. Even in the youth meeting, cause every young person, I'm not just going to say some or one or two, I am praying, Lord, that You will cause every young person in this audience and all the folk as well who have not even thought about these things to make some very specific resolution that just as you use David with whatever he had to use them for the glory of your great name and to do exploits for you. Oh, may it be so tonight, we ask, Lord. Glorify yourself in us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. The world has yet to see what God will do in a man or a woman who is wholly committed to Him. God bless you.